The Detroit Pistons have a new starting lineup, or do they really? We don't know. Actually, we don't know. It might change back again in a few days. But we're going to talk about why there's some confusing around the starting lineup now in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professional, licensed, and vetted therapists available 100% online. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA. So the Detroit Pistons had a game against Dwayne Casey's former team, the Toronto Raptors, and these games are always interesting. They're always interesting. Before this game, they were 9-3. The Pistons, that is, were 9-3. Against the Toronto Raptors. They fall, though, in this game, 115-111. Before we even get into the starting lineup, I have to say this. LCA, you need to put a ban. Anytime the Pistons are hosting the Toronto Raptors, you need to put a ban on any ticket purchases outside the United States. Honestly, ticket purchases outside of Michigan. Only for the Raptors games. Any other game, you can, listen, you can accept tickets from anywhere. But for the Raptors games, ban anything outside of the state of Michigan, and you can honestly, even if you want to expand it a little bit more, just United States in general. The Toronto Raptors fans have to stop coming to the LCA and taking it over. It's frustrating. It kills us. I wasn't even at the game, and I can hear it through the TV. It's so annoying. It's so annoying, frustrating, and I'm sick of doing it. When I was credential during the 1920 season, they did it there too, and it was just so obvious that they outnumbered the Pistons fans, and it felt like a road game. So, I'll say you got to do something, man. Give us some home court advantage. You got to do something about this, man. I can't keep seeing that, man. It sucks. It's trash. But anyways, enough with that. The Detroit Pistons tried a new starting lineup against the Toronto Raptors tonight. Now, I'm going to look into this camera for all you guys watching on YouTube, and obviously I'm going to continue to talk into this mic for all you guys listening on the podcast. What did I say? What did I say? You guys don't listen to me, man. I said that Sadiq Bey looked like he was carving himself out of role as a sixth man on this team. I got comments. I got DMs. I got tweets. Oh, why are you hating on Sadiq Bey? How dare you submit him to being a sixth man on this team? Who do you guys think was the person benched for the two big man lineup? Was it Sadiq Bey? Oh my goodness, it was Sadiq Bey. So the Detroit Pistons decided to bench Sadiq Bey and start Isaiah Stewart with Marvin Bagley and go with the starting lineup of Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey, Bojan Bogdanovic, Isaiah Stewart, and Marvin Bagley. Now, obviously, Kay Cunningham will be in there for Killian Hayes when he gets back from his three-game absence. Hopefully, it's just three games with his shin injury. But exactly what I told you guys had been looking like it was shaping up to happen, happened tonight. They decided to bring Sadiq Bey off the bench and let him play as a sixth man for this team, coming in to score. Now, you didn't even get to see this lineup for much at all because Isaiah Stewart got hurt in the first half, and he has a foot sprain. I don't know how long he's going to be out. We haven't been told how long he's going to be out. I'm assuming we'll find out probably tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to go get, some x-rays or something. I don't know. But we'll find out tomorrow. How severe this injury is. Thank God, honestly, that it's just a foot sprain, because watching it in real time, I thought his knee buckled and I got really worried. So it sucks that he's hurt. The Pistons are already dealing with the injury to Kay Cunningham, but I'm actually relieved that it's just a foot sprain. I thought it could have been worse. So that's why there's a little bit of confusion around the starting lineup now, because they wanted to go with something different. They wanted to go with a two big man lineup now that Marvin Bagley was finally back and they had a proper big man rotation. But now, they don't have one again. For however long Isaiah Stewart's going to be out for. So do you just bring Sadiq Bey right back in to the starting lineup now that Isaiah Stewart's out? I don't know. What I will say is this. If you are going to be bringing Sadiq Bey right back into the starting lineup, while Isaiah Stewart's out, let's say Isaiah Stewart misses like, I don't know, like let's say 3 to 5 games. Let's say he misses 3 to 5 games and he brings Sadiq Bey back into the starting lineup. There's no way, in my opinion, you should be starting Marvin Bagley then. The Pistons' defense is the worst in the league. They have the worst defensive rating in the entire NBA. They have a lead on that, by the way, by like 1.2 points per game too. So their defense is horrific. And a lot of it had to do with starting Bojan and Sadiq Bey right next to each other. Their wing pairing was probably the worst defensive wing pairing in the entire NBA. And Marvin Bagley is not a good defender himself either. But having two bigs in the lineup, you don't even have to be tremendous defensively. The fact they're able to swallow up some rebounds and just have some size was supposed to help. Now, if you're just going to start Sadiq Bey now with Isaiah Stewart out, you're going back to the worst defensive pairing and Bojan and Sadiq. And then also making it worse by having, instead of having a backline guy who's a good defender and good rim protector, you have someone who's just as bad defensively. So I can only imagine the Pistons would give up like 140 points a game. So if Stu is going to miss games and your plan is to start Sadiq Bey while Stu is out, I would entertain starting Jalen Duren. I think Jalen Duren at least is a better rim protector than Marvin Bagley. He's probably going to foul a lot. He's going to have some rookie mistakes, but at least he has some kind of a presence as a rim protector and should deter some shots around the rim. If you go with Marvin Bagley, Bojan, and Sadiq Bey, you might as well go ahead and spot the other team 30 points in the first quarter and then do the jump ball. Like that, you won't have a chance. I don't even want to see how bad that defense would be. It would, like, oh my God. Like, just thinking about it, I don't even know how bad it would be. So it looks like the Pistons, when Stu eventually gets back from whatever, however long he's going to be out with his injury, they are going to be going with a two big man lineup. I don't know if it's going to continue to be Bagley and Stu. Maybe they try to test Dern and Stu. I don't know. But it looks like this is something they're going to be doing moving forward. They're going to put Sadiq Bey off the bench and have him be that six man, coming and be that scorer. Because that looked like, to me, like I've been telling you guys for a few weeks now, that looks like to be the role that he's carving out for himself right now. Dwayne Casey obviously agreed, and they went to the bench with him. So I don't think it's a demotion. People think being a six man is a demotion. If you're looked at as a player who should be getting starter minutes and you want him to come in and score, that's not a demotion. You're just relocating his minutes. I don't get why people look at it as a demotion. I don't think he got demoted. He still ended up, how many minutes did Sadiq Bey play tonight? He still played starter. Yeah, he played 31 minutes tonight. So it's not like he got demoted and now he's playing 24 minutes. That's not how it works. So I'm interested to see what they do moving forward now. With Stu possibly missing a few games. And I really just hope that they do not, if they do decide to start Sadiq instead of, let's say, Livers or something, if they do decide to do something like that, I really hope that they don't double down on no defense by starting Bagley with it. So is what it is. Let me know what you guys' thoughts are down below, not only on Sadiq moving to the bench now and them going with the two big man lineup, but if Stu does miss games, what do you guys do now in those games that he's missing with the starting lineup? Who do you guys sub in? And do you guys keep Bagley as the starting center? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the game, obviously now, what actually happened within the game. I want to talk about it. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, and this is probably my favorite sponsor of Locked On Pistons, and that is Sweatblock. Now listen, Sweatblock wipes are your little secret. Sweatblock wipes are your little secret to confidence. The Sweatblock wipes work for up to 7 days per use. Apply them on a Sunday and you will stay dry all week. So look, this is as simple as it works. You simply go take a shower. You know, you get clean. You feel clean. You feel me? And you just simply take these Sweatblock wipes. You wipe them underneath your armpits. And then you don't have to worry about sweating for the next 7 days. And I can tell you guys right now, I have used these. I have tried these. I tried them last year when they became a sponsor of Locked On Pistons. And they absolutely 100% work. I'm telling you, they are fantastic. I was using them and I didn't even think about it. I didn't sweat at all. I'm one of those people who will just be, it won't even be hot outside. I won't be doing any activity or anything. I just randomly start sweating. I'm like, dude, what the heck? Messing up my t-shirt. Now I don't want to raise my arms. You feel me? Using Sweatblock, all that was gone. I absolutely love Sweatblock, man. Sweatblock wipes were invented by a doctor and they're guaranteed to work. Or if they don't, you don't have to pay. They call it the Sweatblock Dry Shirt Guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, to try Sweatblock risk-free today. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblack.com. It's also available at Amazon. Again, if you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, tell them to try SweatBlock risk-free today. 20% off with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblack.com. Also available on Amazon. That is sweatblack.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Now I want to tell you guys about another one of our sponsors, Rocket Money. Now listen, I know all of us here listening to this podcast, I know me as well, have a ton of subscriptions tied to our bank account. And for me, I had a ton of subscriptions tied to multiple different gyms. I would go to Planet Fitness. I would go to Crunch Fitness. I would go to LA Fitness. I'd be all over the place trying different memberships. And the crazy thing about that is I would forget that I have this subscription. And now I'm getting charged every month. I don't even notice it. Once I finally found my gym, now I have random subscriptions pulling money out. I don't even know that I'm losing money per month. Well, with Rocket Money, you can solve all of that. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and cancels what you don't want for you. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you didn't know you were even paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a random subscription. To cancel the subscription, all you have to do is press cancel on Rocket Money, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. I'm telling you, it's just that easy, and it helped me save, who knows by now, hundreds of dollars from random subscriptions I had with gyms, with Netflix, Amazon, all kinds of different places I didn't even know about. I completely forgot about it, and I don't even use. Cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money right now. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Again, go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon to get rid of your useless subscriptions today with rocketmoney.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Now, the Detroit Pistons only ended up losing this game to the Toronto Raptors by 4 points. It was a score of 115 to 111. And I think this game, while they lost, they tried to come back. I actually had a little bit of fun watching this game. I know a lot of you guys feel like that some of these games this year so far, you're not expecting them to win many games, but you guys just feel like you guys haven't had a lot of fun watching some of these games. It's been tough to watch. I actually think this game was fun. They tried to get a big comeback going on at the end. I thought Marvin Bagley played a really nice game. He opened it up with a three. And by the way, him and Isaiah Stewart both opened up with back-to-back threes to start this game off. If you had that on your bingo card, you probably just won the lottery or something. I don't know how bingo works, really. That's one game I haven't really been a part of. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Never played bingo. But anyways, you guys get what I'm saying. So I thought Marvin Bagley played a really nice game. He shot 6 of 11 from the field, 1 of 2 from deep, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 steal. He's not great defensively still. Like, and there's one thing, actually, I wanted to point out. Thank God that we were talking about Marvin Bagley just now. I want you guys to watch this for games moving forward. I feel like there's like a fundamental, like, there's a fundamental flaw that Marvin Bagley, it appears, learned, like, growing up playing basketball, that he considers good defense that isn't actually good defense. And this is what I'm going to say. This is what I mean. He doesn't jump on pump fakes, which you would assume is really good, and it is. He doesn't jump on pump fakes. I actually think he does a pretty decent job of staying attached to guys when they're driving. I think he does a pretty decent job with all that. However, I feel like the most fatal flaw that he has is that when he gets switched out, he's guarding someone in the perimeter or guarding anyone trying to operate with the ball, he gives them so much space. He gives them so much space, and he just holds his hand out, like, right in front of them. And I don't know if he thinks that, oh, I have my hand up right here, this is good defense. Because he ends up, when a guy pulls up, he'll put his hand up like he's contesting. I don't know if he considers that like a win for the defense because he gets a late contest up. But we're not guarding high schoolers. We're not guarding college players or anything. You have to crowd shooters. If you give them 3 to 5 feet of space and then just get a hand up towards the end of it, that's not good defense. So I feel like that's, like, I see him do it all the time. Again, he doesn't leave his feet rarely ever on pump fakes. He doesn't bite on them. He stays attached to guys pretty well, I feel like. He has some miscommunications off ball. That's another big thing he does too. But really, I think the biggest thing he does, it just feels like that's something he has programmed in his head. Hey, I'm doing the right thing, and this is actually good defense, when in reality it isn't. So I don't know if the coaching staff is, I mean, I have to assume the coaching staff is saying something to him about it, but I've seen it, him do it since he was on the team last year. And I feel like if you really got that coached out of him and changed, he would just be, he would be a better, I don't, he wouldn't be a good defender, but he'd be a better defender than he is now. It looks like to me, and it, I want you guys again, watch it moving forward, but it looks like to me that this is something that he actually believes he's doing the right thing. And he needs to have that coached out of him because he does it over and over and over. And he seems like he's just taking the win on it, but that's, you're not actually winning. So just watch that moving forward. I wanted to mention that in the podcast. It really jumped off the screen. It's jumped off the screen to me before, but tonight, I don't know why. It just really like stuck in my head. I wanted to talk about it. But yeah, outside of that, I thought Jaden Ivey played a really nice game. He had 21 points, 8 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, which we'll talk about in a minute. 6 of 16 from the floor. Wasn't that efficient from the floor, but he did get to the free throw line 10 times, made 8 of his free throws. And really, he probably should have had like 4 or 6 more free throws. He was getting fouled all the time going to the basket. Guys were just knocking the ball out of his hand by slapping his arm or hitting his hand, and they just weren't calling fouls. It was pretty frustrating for him. And I understand why he would be frustrated by that. But overall, I really liked what I saw from him, especially in the fourth quarter when Dwayne Casey put out a lineup of Jaden Ivey, Alec Burks, Bojan, Marvin Bagley, and Isaiah Livers. That's like the most perfect spacing they've had all season. And granted, obviously, they weren't able to have that lineup because guys have been injured. But now with these guys being healthy, that's the most spaced out lineup we've seen all year. You got 3-point shooters around your main ball handler and a lob threat. And he was just shredding the Raptors all fourth quarter with that lineup. It's seriously that simple. I can't wait to see when Cade gets back, when they stagger him with, like, let's say they run Cade Killian, Bojan, and Livers, or Burks, Livers, and Bagley. Cade's finally going to have a wide-open floor to work with. I'm telling you guys, you're going to see a lot more layups. You're going to see a lot more attacking the rim. You're going to see a lot more free throws for Cade. Because the floor was more spaced for Jaden Ivey tonight in that fourth quarter than I've seen all season. And Jaden Ivey was just dissecting them all fourth quarter with quick reads, with the skip to the corner. He's so explosive that if you don't bring a second defender or if you have good spacing, the primary guy's not going to stop him getting to the rim. You're going to have to bring someone else. And he does a great job of seeing the first read instantly. He may not be a next level read passer, but the first read, if you give him that first read, he's going to make it every single time. And he was doing it over and over and over in the fourth quarter. When the Pistons were down by like 10 points, they cut it to a 2-point game. I believe they actually tied the game in the fourth quarter. And it was because Jaden Ivey was just ripping them a new one. And it was because he had proper spacing around him. He wasn't playing with Hamidou Diallo, Jalen Duren, and Marvin Bagley all on the floor at the exact same time. Like, that lineup is just, you can't do it. It can't happen. But when you put spacing out there, now you see what a primary ball handler can do, especially one as explosive as Jaden Ivey. So I hope we see more of that moving forward, not only for Ivey, but like I said, Cade needs it badly. Heck, even Killian needs it badly. But just those two guys, they desperately need spacing. And I hadn't seen the floor as spaces all year as I saw it in the fourth quarter. So I really thought Jaden Ivey took advantage of it. And I hope the coaching staff sees that. It's like, oh, this is something we probably should do moving forward. That makes sense. Spacing. 2022. Oh my goodness. Outside of that, Alec Burks, he had a nice game, 15 points, 5 of 7 from the field. He's been really nice to have coming back. He's been a nice scorer off the bench, really nice spacer. And to be honest, he actually had some run at the point guard position coming off the bench. I didn't think he was too bad at it. Initially, I was like, oh, no Killian or Ivy on the floor. This is going to be pretty rough, but no, it wasn't as bad as I thought. He doesn't have as good of a handle as those guys. And he's obviously not as good of a passer. But I actually think he did a decent job. He makes necessary reads. He's a scorer. So I wasn't too mad about how he played it tonight. I don't think that he's going to be having to be asked to play point guard moving forward once Cade gets back, because then you're going to have Ivy, Killian, and Cade out there. So I don't think that's something he's going to have to do anymore. But definitely in the meantime, these like next 3 games, if he's going to have to be the bench point guard, I'm not too worried about it. I actually think he did a decent job. So credit to him. I know he did only play 16 minutes. I know Dwayne Casey said after the game, he's still trying to get back into conditioning. He asked out a few times because he was just dead tired. So you have to give him some time. He missed a long time with it. So I'm assuming you're going to see his minutes continue to be a little bit lower as he works his way back. But he damn near is scoring a point per minute. He had 15 points tonight in 17 minutes. Like, that's crazy. That's incredible production. So really nice game from Alec Burks. And then outside of that, I thought Stu looked really good before he got hurt. He hit 2 of his both of his three-pointers. I thought Bojan had his worst game of the season. He needs to stop dribbling so much. The team needs to stop putting him in situations to dribble, like running pick and rolls as much with him, especially against a team whose strength is the wings on defense. They were just destroying him over and over because Bojan doesn't have a good handle. So I don't know why they kept going to him with the handle, and he has to pass the ball. He had 5 turnovers tonight, and those absolutely murdered the Pistons, and he didn't shoot very well from the floor. So Bojan does, I feel like he hurt the Pistons a lot tonight. And Killian Hayes, I thought he had a really nice game. I know he only had 6 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, but he had 3 steals and a block. All six of his shots I really liked. Three of his shots, he's out there isoing, yanking dudes' ankles, pulling up for jumpers. You can see that's something he's going to continue to go to. He's found what his thing is. And his handle looks so much better from where it was just from last year. So I thought he played a really nice game tonight. I don't like the fact, the one thing I would criticize, I don't like the fact he only took 6 shots. Last podcast, we talked about how he had been averaging 13 attempts per game. I need him, especially with Kate out, to be up towards 10 attempts a game. I understand he was just playing floor general, and maybe the Raptors were kind of forcing him into making these passes. I thought he made some nice passes, but he needs to take shots, especially with Kate out. So if I had a criticism for Killian Hayes tonight, it's the fact he only took 6 shots. So try to get more shots up. But overall, I thought it was a fun game. They lost. The comeback fell short at the end. Jane Ivey had a few rookie mistakes, a few rookie turnovers against a really damn good defense with extremely long defenders everywhere. But it is what it is. What are you going to do? So fun game, but is what it is. When we come back, I want to talk about some things moving forward, like Sadiq Bey coming off the bench. Is it the right move? How should Sadiq feel about it? How should they use him moving forward off the bench? We'll talk about all that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Prize Picks. So let's take an example and say the Pistons are playing tonight. Actually, we have a perfect example. The Pistons played tonight, and the Eagles also played. So let's say you want to take the over on Killian Hayes' points and the over on Jane Ivey's points, and also take the over on Jalen Hurts' passing yards and the over on A.J. Brown's receiving yards. Well, you can do that with Prize Picks. You can put them in the exact same entry and do cross-sports entries. That's one of my favorite reasons why I use Prize Picks. It's really easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players to see if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any single entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes, get ready for it, NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, UR basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to PrizePicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports today. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks gives you $50. Really simple. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Again, first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. Use PrizePicks and use promo code Locked On to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So let's talk about Sadiq Bey a little bit and him now coming off the bench. I don't know if they're going to continue to do it for the next few games now with Isaiah Stewart's out, but I think it's a pretty good indicator to say that once Isaiah Stewart gets healthy and they're fully healthy, it looks like this is what they're going to do now moving forward. They're going to be bringing Sadiq Bey off the bench. So how should they be using him? So I actually wasn't a big fan of how they used him tonight, but I think that was more – it looks like that's more so out of guys simply being hurt. Like I said earlier, I don't think Alec Burks played too bad of a job as the backup point guard. But the whole point of bringing Sadiq Bey off the bench as the sixth man is for him to be like the main scorer off the bench and for your offense really to try to run through him and let him get his touches with the bench that needs some offensive scoring. And with Alec Burks as your point guard, he's going to get up a lot of shots. You're going to be looking for a shot. And rightfully so, like I said, he scored 15 points in 17 minutes. Like, that's crazy productive on 5 of 7 shooting. So he was really productive with it. But now Sadiq Bey kind of falls to the afterburners a little bit with Alec Burks on the floor. I think once Killian gets back to the bench, with how aggressive and how Killian's playing differently now, I think that would be perfect for Saddiq now, because Saddiq will be the primary scoring option, I think, and he'll have Killian setting him up. I think Killian will continue to be aggressive, obviously. I hope he continues to take a lot of shots. But I think, obviously, everyone would agree that Killian Hayes is probably the best guy on the team at setting up his teammates next to Jane Ivey and Kay Cunningham. I would say Killian Hayes is probably the best one on the team. So once you get Killian coming off the bench, he's going to be setting up Saddiq Bey a lot, and Saddiq will be getting a lot more touches and some nice shots. But there's something else that Saddiq has to change, or it doesn't matter if he's starting or coming off the bench. He's going to continue to be a little inconsistent. He's not going to find consistent production. And it's his outside shot. It's honestly shocking to me. I mean, we've talked about it a few times on the podcast already. I don't think he's the 3-and-D guy like many people thought he was after his rookie season. That's not a bad thing. I think he's, like we've already talked about, I think he's carving himself into being like a 6-man scorer type of thing with how well he draws free throws and how improved his finishing around the rim is. All that kind of stuff. We already talked about that. But there's no way he's actually this bad of a shooter. Going back all the way to last season, ever since his rookie season, he's been hovering around, like, last year he was a 34% three-point shooter. So far this year, before this game, he's a 30% shooter. And tonight's game, he shot 1 of 5 from deep. And a lot of them were really good looks, too. They're not bad looks. The last one he took, I think they counted this one as a three, but the last one he took was the one at the heave, at the buzzer, as the time expired at the end of the game. But outside that, all of them were really good looks. So I'm assuming his three-point percentage is probably going to fall to like 28, 27% after going 1 of 5 tonight. He's not that bad of a shooter. At least I don't want to believe that. He's a streaky shooter. I do believe he's probably a streaky shooter. But listen, he doesn't have to be a 3-and-D or a sniper out there. But he's a better shooter than this, you have to believe. He's not this bad of a shooter. And it doesn't matter if he's coming off the bench or starting. If he's not going to be able to get his three-point shot to come around and completely flip, it's going to be a struggle for him to consistently remain efficient and put up production. So, because he's getting clean looks. He can't go to the rim every single time. He's getting a lot of clean looks, especially for a guy who's supposed to be a good shooter. I believe a lot of people still believe. Heck, I don't believe he's a bad shooter. He should be a good shooter. So, that was part of his problem tonight. He only ended with 9 points. So, again, like I said, I do believe that with the other point guard, maybe he gets some better looks or he gets set up a little bit differently than Alec Burks. But also, again, he went 1 of 5 from three. If he makes 2 more of those attempts, we're looking at a 15-point game from him, 5 of 10 off the bench, really efficient game. So he has to get that worked out. I know last year we kind of saw the same thing happen with him at the beginning of the year where he shot terribly from beyond the arc for like the first 26 games. After that, he was hovering around 35%, but before that, he was shooting at like 31, 30% then too. So I hope it's not like, I hope he snaps out of it soon. If it is just another one of those beginning of the year trends where he's just going to struggle from deep for the first like 30 games and then flip it around. I hope that's not the case. Hopefully it flips around soon. Because again, like I said, it's just going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to consistently put up efficient production with him not being able to hit these open shots that he's getting from beyond the arc. He's supposed to be a really good shooter. So he's going to have to turn that around. Once he turns that around, I think he's going to be fine. Whether he's starting, coming off the bench, playing with Burks, Killian Hayes, doesn't matter. Once he gets his three-point shot going, he should be fine. But that is something that we all need to continue to watch because this happened last year too. So just continue to watch that, see how it goes. But outside of that, man, I don't think I've really got anything else to talk to you guys about on today's episode. I'm interested to see the next game. I'm really having a lot of fun. I know we don't want Kay Cunningham to be hurt. No one wants Kate hurt, obviously. I don't think I have to say that, but I'm going to in case people try to flip that around. No one wants him hurt, but with him out, it is fun to see Jane Ivey get extended run. It is fun to see Killian Hayes start and play how he's playing, isoling guys and pulling up for jumpers and all this stuff that he's doing now. It's fun to see it. It's fun to see some of these guys, like Alec Burks even, get extended run as a primary facilitator or primary ball handler. It is fun to see that. So with the spacing too that they're doing, like it has been fun. That's why I'll say. So I hope they continue to do this kind of stuff when Kay gets back. And I hope they still try to find like a lot of minutes for all three of those guys, Cade, Ivy, Killian, and Burks. Even when Kay gets back, I think they all have played really well and show that they need to be getting a lot of minutes in the rotation moving forward. So I'm having fun. Let me know if you guys are also having fun watching the team the last few games. Comment section down below or over on Twitter @KookieHill. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a five-star review, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And until next time, you guys stay safe. Get ready for the next Pistons game. Start on a road trip. All these games are late. 10:30, 10:30, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Get ready. I know I'm preparing for this. I'm going to have to be up at 2 o'clock recording a podcast for all y'all, man. It's going to be, going to need me some Starbucks. But until then, man, stay safe. Enjoy your nights. Enjoy your day. Thank you for listening. And until the next time, I'll see you guys later. Go Pistons. And peace out.